Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent messages and prophecies that have come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. And we're speaking, of course, of the message of Bayside, which comes to us through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. She was a prophet of our time whom the Almighty had raised up to champion his cause of restoring the Catholic Church back to its former glory. Because, unfortunately, the Church in our time has virtually been destroyed. Since the Second Vatican Council, we have seen the introduction of many new ideas and procedures that are foreign to the Church's ongoing tradition. That is to say, the Church today has been overrun by foreigners and strangers. Satan has entered the Church in our time. The spouse of Christ has become unruly. She's playing the field. She's flirting around with other religions and entertaining the world and bringing her worldly friends and ideas right into her father's house and basically having a party. And that's what they call their renewal since Vatican Council II. It's a new religion, which embraces a new ideal, where we cast aside rules, regulations, and penance, and we entertain a false sense of forgiveness and peace. Consistent with this is the manner in which they have basically dispensed with the Church's age-old teaching on purgatory. Granted, purgatory is still mentioned now and then in some churches, but it's done with a new light or emphasis, where they attempt to eliminate the element of suffering through the use of ambiguous language. For instance, they'll send off false signals by saying that purgatory is an act of God's mercy. And indeed, purgatory is a great act of mercy on the part of God, because without it, scarcely anyone could ever enter heaven, but that's not what they mean. What they're trying to tell you is that purgatory is a place of peace and forgiveness, where we've moved a step closer to the kingdom. It's just another phase of our pilgrimage to heaven, but we're not quite there yet. And again, this is a very ambiguous way of putting things, because with that kind of talk, people will come away thinking that purgatory is a new and elevated state where we have graduated upward and we have one foot in heaven. But the truth of the matter is that we've descended downward and we got one foot in hell. And in fact, we've got both feet in hell, because purgatory is actually a part of hell. As referenced in the Creed, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. This passage denotes Christ's descent into the belly of the earth for the 3 days following his crucifixion, when he went to deliver the souls that had been detained in purgatory, and also those in limbo. Before moving on with this discussion, it should be emphasized that the Church's age-old emphasis on purgatory has been correct, and should never be changed. The only change of emphasis that should be made is that this same emphasis should be emphasized with even more resolution. That is to say, the light of Christ's teachings on the subject need to be brought forth with even more clarity in order to offset the darkness of our age. And if you don't believe we're in darkness, just listen to the news. The FCC now wants to approve the use of the F word to be used on our radio and televisions and newspapers as an adjective. What's the world coming to? We'll tell you what it's coming to, the end. And Our Lady for 25 years had tried to warn us of this. She has sought to impress upon us the urgency that we be on our best behavior at all times, for we can be taken at any time, and unless we're living each day as if it were our last, we will not be ready to meet our Maker. In the short time allotted to us upon earth, it's important that we use the time to cleanse ourselves of all offense, so that we don't have to undergo this painful process of purification in the next life. And again, we're speaking of purgatory. As the Church infallibly teaches, there exists in the next life an infernal realm of banishment and sufferings for those that did not properly cleanse themselves upon earth. This infernal prison is what we call purgatory, meaning a purging place, where we are purged or cleansed of our imperfections. Just for the record, purgatory is a middle place in the next world, where we undergo the temporal punishment due for sins committed. Every sin ever committed has to be properly atoned for, and if we don't do it in this life through penance and confession, then we'll most certainly have to do it in the next life. As Jesus says right in the Gospel, we will not go out of that prison until we have paid the very last mite. That's from Luke 12:59. In the message of March 29, 1975, Our Lady tells Veronica, I quote, "There is a purgatory, a place of purging, my child, suffering great as in the abyss, but with the knowledge of a reprieve in time to come. It is a bleak longing of the spirit to look upon the Father. No, my child, this longing of the heart and the fires is of great magnitude, encompassing the being of the waiting soul." Now, as we understand, these souls in purgatory are completely helpless in that they cannot pray for themselves or plead their own cause in any way. The only atonement they can make is to endure this slow burn and undergo the fierce torment and longing in the fires of purgatory. But as the Church reminds us, the prayers of the faithful have great power to alleviate their sufferings, to shorten their stay in purgatory, and to even rescue them from this place of banishment, so that they can finally enter into their eternal rest. Even a kind thought or memory offered for a departed soul will bring the balm to ease their pain and cool their burning. When you offer a prayer or an act of kindness for a departed relative or friend, it's like you're taking a hose and watering someone down when they're on fire. Hence, the souls in purgatory constantly beg and plead for your prayers and understanding. Our Lord agrees where he tells us, and where has your charity of heart gone now for your relations and friends passed on into purgatory? Were I to reveal to you how many are now chained by your lack of prayers in purgatory, would you be moved with pity for them if I could show you how they beg and thirst for you to release them? And that's our Lord speaking September 7, 1985. It is for reason that the people of God, even from the Old Testament, have always prayed for their dead. As it says in the Bible, I quote, "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins." 2 Maccabeus 12:46. Again we read, quote, "A gift has grace in the sight of all the living, and restrain not grace from the dead." Ecclesiasticus 7:37. That is to say, do not withhold from them the grace of your prayers and sacrifices. Now purgatory, so that we understand, is a place for those who die in a state of grace, not for those that are damned through mortal sin. Basically, it has been designated for those departed Christians and people who were imperfect, lukewarm, and attached too much to the world, so that many of their works were not profitable toward their salvation. St. Paul explains a little more clearly in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he says that the fire of God will try every man's work. I quote where he says, "Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day of the Lord shall declare it, because it shall be revealed in fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide in Christ, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work burn, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15. By fire we will be saved, says St. Paul. It is the fires of purgatory that will consume and burn these unprofitable works from our being in a very painful process, so that we indeed will suffer the loss of them, having been attached to these things, but in the same process, we will be separated from them and set at liberty so that we can finally enter into our eternal reward. It's almost like getting your warts burnt off. And we need to have these burnt off, because even the slightest spot or imperfection on our soul after death will keep us from entering into the company of God in His kingdom. Some might argue, well, if that be the case, why doesn't God just give us a little anesthetic and remove these spots without any pain? The answer is because purgatory, in addition to being a cleansing, is also a punishment. And this cleansing after death will often entail a very severe, rigorous sentence in the fires of purgatory for a long many years. From the revelations of the saints, we learn that the souls in purgatory, if given a second chance, would gladly endure a lifetime of torment and fire upon earth rather than to spend 1 minute in purgatory. It is, in the truest sense of the word, pure hell. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the fires that burn the souls in purgatory is essentially the same fire that stokes the souls of the damned in hell. Revelation has it that there are souls who will be in purgatory until the end of time. Many are there because they neglected religion and chose to have a life of pleasure upon earth. According to our Blessed Lady, most people today that die wind up in either purgatory or hell. Moreover, Our Lady has said, quote, "Many who have entered into this purgatorial purging site have done so because of sins of the flesh." Perhaps the moral of the story is that if we choose to burn in our shame here upon earth, then we will receive burning as our portion in the next life. Because, as St. Paul said, the fire of God is waiting to try each of us when we pass over the veil, and if we provide any fuel for that fire to burn, any combustibles, then they most certainly will burn, and we will burn with them, because we allowed these things to have part with us, our faults, and our defects that we never really confessed and got rid of on earth. So we have the time now to put off our bad habits and to start working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as St. Paul says in Philippians 3:12. And this is what we should be doing anyway. The knowledge of purgatory is essential to Catholic teaching because it represents what our baptismal calling is all about, namely that we sanctify ourselves. The process for our purification begins here on earth, not when we die. What we don't finish here on earth, then we have to complete over the veil. St. Augustine says, as some people do their purgatory on earth, while others do it in the next life, and still others, it's a little of each. However, the will of God is that we do our purgatory on earth and be imitators of Christ. The Apostle Peter tells us that by imitating Christ and suffering in the flesh, we, quote, "cease from sins." 1 Peter 4:1. Suffering is the spiritual weed killer that kills the devil grass of our souls. Suffering or penance is the very thing that rubs out our sinful tendencies. The road to our sanctification is to simply endure the way of the cross and to sacrifice all for Christ. As St. Paul says, I suffer the loss of all things, and I count them as dung, that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3:8. Now we can understand why the martyrs go directly to heaven with no purgatory, because at the moment of death, when they're being martyred, they have that perfect love for God and that resolution to sacrifice all things, even their very life. There's nothing more that they could give up. Hence, being attached to nothing and belonging only to God, they go directly to Him. And that's exactly what will happen to us if we simply dedicate ourselves to this mission from heaven, and we try to bring this urgent message to the people and not give ourselves over to a world that's been given over to Satan. If we do this, and we do this faithfully, then we too will be able to make a beeline to the kingdom with no purgatory in between. So says Our Lady. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world, as given on the sacred grounds of Bayside, New York. Of course, one of the quickest and surest ways of avoiding purgatory is to be contrite and repentant, like Mary Magdalene, who was washed clean with her own tears. But of course, she had to do penance. She had a lot of purgatory to do on earth after her repentance. It was a life of self-deprivation. Doing penance is part of being repentant. And our president, Michael Mangan, in the past had interviewed a rather repentant soul whose conversion had come through the Bayside message. So we thought it edifying to hear her testimony at this time.
Hello, David. It's my pleasure to speak to you and to all of our listeners in Radioland. And we have approximately 200 pilgrims that have gathered here, and they are braving some very foul weather right now. It's a driving, wet, pouring rain. But as always, this is not dampening the spirit at all of the faithful. And in fact, it enhances the spirit. And it seems the wetter, the colder, the snowier it gets, these brave pilgrims really enjoy it, because they realize the graces to be received and the penance that they're doing, the tremendous joy and pleasure that they bring to the sacred hearts of Jesus and Mary with their sacrifice in pilgrimage. And David, it's my pleasure to have with me a guest from Stamford, Connecticut, Diane Strain. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Mike.
And Diane, you have quite a testimonial to share with us this evening. In fact, you had kind of briefed me off air, and as you had said earlier, you went from sitting on a barroom stool to going to a church pew. Can you tell us a little bit about what Our Lady of the Roses has done for you in your life?
Our Lady of the Roses has basically saved me from the pit of hell. Years ago, before I came to the shrine, I was involved with drugs, amphetamines, alcohol, promiscuous sex. I was definitely in the pit of hell. My life was in total turmoil. At one point, I had to give up my children and place them in foster homes, which left me devastated. I turned more towards the bottle and everything else. I came to the shrine right after my father passed away. He died in 84 from cancer, and I had come home to help take care of him, because we didn't want him dying in a nursing home, and he wanted to die at home. So right after he had passed away, I had what we call a spiritual enlightenment. My inner voice told me if I wanted to be healed, I was to go to the shrine of Our Lady of the Roses in Bayside. Well, I had kind of heard about it from a member of my family, which I didn't pay that much attention to. And I called my sister and I said, where is this place that you go to pray the rosary? And she told me, Bayside, Queens. I said, well, I've had a spiritual enlightenment to go there to be healed. She said, well, that's kind of strange, since she had been praying for a healing for me. I have macular degeneration of the left eye. I've had it for many, many years. So I said, well, when is the next vigil? She told me, and I believe it was around July 15th, which would be our Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, because that's when I always celebrate my anniversary. Came to the shrine that night. Veronica was here. Went into the healing circle, because my sister said, go into the healing circle, because Veronica was blessing people. So I got into the healing circle, and I saw Veronica, but I couldn't get near her. my sister said, move closer, and I couldn't move. She came to bless the people in the crowd, and I could fix my eyes on her eyes. And they were like eyes that I've never seen before. I was just so enhanced by the way she looked. And there were other people around me, and they were kind of pushing and shoving to get to her. So one lady pushed another lady, and when I reached down to help the other lady, this big white light went off in my face, and I couldn't move. I just stared at Veronica. Finally, she finished blessing the people, and she turned and went back to where she was seated. My sister said to me, Diane, why didn't you get closer to Veronica? I said, I couldn't move. Something was seemed to be holding me there. I just couldn't move. So she said, all right, well, let's go back and pray. So we went back to the outside of the area where they call the healing circle.
Diane, was this experience the beginning of your spiritual healing?
Yes, this is the very first time that I had encountered not only Veronica, but had come to the shrine.
You were baptized as a Catholic.
I've been baptized as a Catholic. I've been married in the Catholic faith. I was raised Catholic, 9 years in a Catholic school.
And how long were you away from the church now at this point?
At this point, I've been away from the church over 25 years. I had had a bad marriage and got divorced, and instead of turning to God, I turned to the bottle.
So what happened after this light and your transfixion with Veronica, her eyes and the light?
Then we went back to pray, and as I was praying, I said to Jesus, and I hope this is not too irreverent, well, I'm here, what do you want of me? Then my legs started to itch, and I started to scratch and scratch and scratch. And being summertime, you know, you're not wearing a lot of clothing, I expected to be seeing big scratches on my legs because my nails were rather long then. There was no scratches on my legs. So the day after, I told my sister about what had happened, and she said, well, maybe you had a healing. I said, well, my legs do feel better. I said, I've had arthritis in my knees since I was 13 years old, and I used to have to sleep sometimes with a pillow to prop them up so that I could ease the pain and ointments and all that other stuff, and, of course, pills to take to ease the pain. And I said, well, gee, that's good. I said, because I want to go back. And I started going back, and I kept coming and coming. And as I kept coming back to the shrine, I kept feeling stronger. And I met, well, Marion Morris is the organizer, and she told me that I should go to confession. So I said, well, I'm still kind of leery about going to confession because I'm scared, plain and honest. I'm scared. It's been a long time, and I don't think that I'm really forgiven. Well, she said, you should go to confession because you want to receive the sacrament. So I went to a church in Stanford, saw a priest. My voice again once told me, guided me, and told me to speak to him. I spoke to him, explained what had happened to me, told him about the shrine. He was a little reluctant about it, but he did not tell me not to go. He always said to me, pray for me. I went to confession. And after confession, he asked me how I felt. I said, Father, I feel like the weight of the world has been taken off my shoulders.
Remarkable, Diane. And this is really the story of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside, that she has drawn so many sinners back to the fold through her powerful intercession. And this is just another testimonial of the good work that the Virgin Mary at Bayside is doing. And Diane, at what point were you liberated from your addiction to alcohol and cigarettes?
That came as another cure. I was at my mother's house, and I had had a few beers, and I was still smoking. And I went to go lay down on the couch, got sick, felt kind of funny, went to get up to go to the bathroom and passed out. When I passed out, my mother called my sister. She came down, they lifted me up, got me into the bathroom, and I said to my sister, I feel like I'm dying. I said, it feels, and this is the only way I can explain it, like my soul is leaving my body out through my feet, going right out. So I said, get me some holy water. So she got me some holy water. So I said, please get me some blessed rose petals. So she got me the blessed rose petals. We had them in the house. Ate the blessed rose petals, drank the holy water, and also put a St. Benedict medal on my forehead. And we prayed, and she was taking my blood pressure at the same time. I know my blood pressure dropped down way below 90. In a short while, my blood pressure came back, and I was fine. The next day, my inner voice told me to throw them away. I took the cigarettes, and I threw the cigarettes away. I also know that I'm cured of alcoholism. Now, when you go to AA, they always tell you that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Well, I can go out and have a sociable drink. I do not have the same desires that I used to have when I drank. I don't feel like I need to go out and get drunk. I can have one or two drinks, and that's it. I don't do it on a daily basis. I only do it maybe for a birthday or a wedding.
Fantastic. A fantastic cure, Diane. What is your lifestyle now?
My lifestyle is totally, totally with God. I can talk to God now. I can talk to Jesus. Blessed Mother, she's just my mother. She's just my mother. I confide in her everything that I need to. Helps me daily. The angels, the saints, I pray to them. I talk to them. I feel just like, I know they're with me, but I feel like they're my friends. And I'm not afraid of God anymore. I know.
So you went from talking to the bartender to talking to God.
And I've got better results talking to God than I did the bartender. And it's cheaper, too.
And I assume you receive daily communion, pray your rosary, and what a tremendous change, a real 360. Or I guess 180, actually.
Whatever the degrees are, I've come full circle, and I can't wait to one day go home to see my Lord and Blessed Mother so I can really see them. But that time will come in His time, and I'm not worried about it at all.
What is the greatest gift or prayer that you've received at Our Lady of the Roses Shrine at Bayside?
The spiritual healing. Knowing that I am forgiven for all the things I have done by God, knowing that I can talk to Him, knowing that my Mary, Our Lady, is my mother, and she's a mother to me in every sense of the world. She comforts me, she guides me, she helps me. She's just wonderful. She's just wonderful. And I come to the shrine as often as I can get here, and I do my prayers and gain my graces and gain my strength to go on for the world that we've got going on out here. And if I didn't have the shrine to come to, who knows where I would be faltering around at. The shrine of Our Lady of the Roses is a true shrine. It's a true apparition. And only you can gain true graces by coming here. You will be totally in touch with God if you open up yourself and come and see. And I do believe in the shrine. I know what's happening here is real. And I know how Blessed Mother has saved my life, brought me to her son, and I know someday she'll bring my children there too.
Thank you very much, Diane, and God bless you. And we're certainly overwhelmed for all the graces you have received, and I know you're sharing them with all of your loved ones and friends. God bless you.
God bless you too, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Diane, for your very candid and genuine testimony. God always loves a sincere heart, and it will always flood such a heart with graces and abundance, as evidenced here today. We would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. There is no cost to receive the information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air, so we do ask that you be generous with your tax-deductible contributions. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.